You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number three. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgagestogo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. Bottom of the hour, Jacob Pelche from your Calgary Flames and Calgary Wranglers will join us. Our intern battle, as intern Grace takes on intern Gregor, in a 30-second preview to get Matty hyped up for the Paris Olympics, which are just 85 days away.
So what have we covered thus far? We have covered the basketball.
Yep.
The new sports, breakdancing, skateboarding.
Surfing.
Chance to win a medal was Grace yesterday.
Yep.
And surfing.
Yep. Handball.
Handball. Oh, handball.
Handball. Grace was yesterday. Handball. Yep. Which is super fun. It's a gym class sport that should be played in an elementary school gym with a stage. That's handball.
Or at the Olympics.
You know what? Our next guest, a good Greek boy, Nick Kyprios, the host of Real Kipper and Born on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network, Stanley Cup champion on the Atlas Pizza and Sportsbar guest hotline. Nick, how much handball did you play growing up as a kid?
Opa! Handball just didn't get it done for me. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a tough sport. It just whip the ball. I feel like the goalies. It's tough to be a goalie in handball, Nick.
It's tough to be a goalie at any time for anything.
It's true.
They are the last. We get to blame them first. I love as a player. As a skater, as a forward, it's great to point the finger at a blue liner or a goalie, and then it comes to me.
Yeah, I like that. How much does this Austin Matthews situation have an odor like the William Nylander situation had an odor? Is he sick, Nick? Is he hurt? I don't even know what's going on right now.
You know, if he can come back and maybe contribute, if the Leafs find a way to win this series, then it's a car freshener, right? The stink's there, but it's masked and you're okay. But you know, there's still a lot to this story, including first and foremost, what is the outcome? Is it, does it lead towards a comeback series win for the Leafs? Or does it end in Game 6 or Game 7 where the Leaf fans are left alone at the altar again? So we'll see how this plays out, and then we can better determine where you are on what happened with Willie Nylander the first three games, or what happened to Austin Matthews in Game 5 or potentially Game 6.
Nick, I don't know. When did this start happening where teams who get eliminated – have released the injury list? Like, it's just in a big excuse train here. Oh, here's why. Because I don't know if you knew, Nick, Brandon Hagel had a sore ass in Game 3, so that's why the Lightning lost to the Panthers. Like, I don't understand why teams do this now. And when did this start happening?
Believe it or not, it's just, I think, the thirst for news, the thirst for insiders, of course. You know, the last 10 or 15 years, there wasn't a list coming out by the teams, but certainly your insiders love to be the first to say that, you know, so-and-so played on a bad knee or he had a cracked bone. So there is that feeling like, you know, you're telling the public something, but I'm with you when it gets to the point where teams are actually telling you as if this explains everything, then it gets a little bit too much for me as well.
Nick, what was the difference for you in Game 5's win for the Maple Leafs that allowed them to push this series?
I want to start with the fact that the Boston Bruins didn't look anything like what we saw in two home games for the Toronto Maple Leafs at Scotiabank Arena. For one, it's unexplainable that you're trying to close out still a very dangerous team and you come up with all but two shots on goal, the giveaways. Boston was absolutely brutal. And that's not to take away anything from the Toronto Maple Leafs, who took full advantage of it, including getting the first goal. But because Boston was so bad, it allowed the Toronto Maple Leafs to build up some confidence. And more importantly, it gave Joseph Woll a chance to come back off of giving up, I think, a goal on his first two shots. You know, no talk about that as well. But that could have been a storyline that snowballed in a negative way for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But because Boston was so bad in that first period, it gave the Leafs a ton of life to get a clean up a lot of the things that have ailed them the last few games. And now I think the Leafs have got to be feeling great to start the puck, you know, the drop of the puck in game six. But where it goes a few shifts after that, again, is anyone's guess. But Boston let them right back into this series with an inept start to close out a series.
So Boston wins game one at home with, you know, a 5-1 victory. It's a pretty solid win for them. Ever since then, only the road team has been able to win in this series. What does that tell you? Is there anything to that? Because I don't know if both these fan bases maybe feel a little bit nervous about their clubs, but the teams have looked that way when they're playing at home.
Well, first of all, I think Toronto fans should feel a lot worse than Boston fans at home, based on the fact that the Leafs have lost, six or seven games at home now. So it really needs to be addressed, and it really needs to be cleaned up. Again, you want to take a lot of heat, go lose another home game tonight for the Leafs. But there's just, again, no excuse for a team that has been consistently a 100-point team over the last half a dozen years, and you can't find a way to win a home game in the playoffs. So score the first goal, get off to a good start, have Boston chase you a little bit, keep the crowd into the game, all instrumental for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
What have you made of David Pastrnak's series?
You know what? He plays hard. I think he's a heck of a hockey player. I'd want him on my team on any given night, but he's a little frustrated here. I don't think he should feel any differently than Willie Nylander without missing the first, you know, outside of missing the first three games for Willie. But those guys are paid a lot of money now. They have to put the puck in the net. Pastrnak's got the one goal, but it won't be enough unless he starts finding different ways to contribute. But that also includes putting the puck in the net. And you know, the one thing about the Boston Bruins is it does drop in terms of game-breaking guys and guys considered world class. It begins and ends with Pastrnak and Brad Marchand. After that, it drops off. If these guys are not carrying the freight like Marchand did, you know, in the first four games, then Boston looks a lot more human for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Which team is better equipped to handle the Florida Panthers, the Leafs or the Bruins?
Well, I think from a physical aspect, I think the Leafs have proven in the back half of the season that they're not going to get run out of any buildings, and they certainly didn't get run out in game five in the TD Garden. But it's going to be hard for both of them, to be quite honest with you. Especially if this goes seven games and they continue to kind of beat down on them, on each other, while Florida's sitting at home resting and getting healthy here. But, you know, it really comes down to, I think, right now, a goaltender that can match a Bobrovsky. And even going to game six, I think we give the Boston Bruins a lot more of a chance with Swayman and Allmark than you would Joseph Woll and Samsonov. So I think Boston would be better equipped just from the net alone. But we'll see what Joseph Woll can do. He's mop-up man right now. He is. The Leafs are still in the ninth inning here, and he's got to close this thing out. The other, you know, it's Joseph Woll to win three games here, guys, and it's also Swayman to lose three games. So, you know, if the Leafs find a way to pull this thing out, and you got a very hot Joseph Woll, maybe that pulls into that direction of a guy that can challenge Bobrovsky in the next round. But plenty to be dissected here in Game 6 and potentially Game 7 before we get to that conversation.
If the Leafs lose tonight or in Game 7, is Brendan Shanahan in jeopardy?
I think the whole organization from top to bottom will get relooked for sure. And yes, to be quite honest with you, there's nothing to suggest that Brendan Shanahan has got job security here. But that goes with so many in the organization. And I just say all bets are off. Even some of the players who have no movement clause, you know, whether or not it's Brendan Shanahan making decisions moving forward or they bring someone else, changes are inevitable for this team. Even if they get past Boston, you still are going to have a conversation on what to do with Mitch Marner if the Leafs win or not.
And obviously Sheldon Keefe, Nick, there's a lot of potentially high-profile coaching candidates out there this summer. Maybe Rod Brind'Amour leaves the Hurricanes if they're not giving him a lucrative extension. There's guys out there, maybe, I don't know, Joe Quenneville finds his way back into the NHL. There's Craig Berube, who's out there after winning a championship in St. Louis, and a lot of teams fancy him as potentially their next head coach. Who knows what the future holds for John Cooper in Tampa? Maybe the Leafs throw buckets of money at that guy. Like, if you're the Maple Leafs who have these financial resources, do you think they potentially go out here? Because I don't think Sheldon Keefe survives this, and they go out there and hire a high-profile coach.
Well, changing. The Leafs lose this series. Getting rid of Sheldon Keefe's the easiest decision you can make moving forward. And it just seems today, as you mentioned, you look around this coaching carousel now. When can you ever recall so many changes in a short period of time when it comes to head coaches? And I include the NBA and the NFL in this. This is unprecedented in terms of how many coaching changes there's been in the last year. Like, there is no security right now for head coaches. They are the easiest targets to change. It's now turned into a lucrative business for coaches, but also a ruthless one. Oh, yeah. Where it's just so easy for an owner to say, get rid of him and stroke the check to keep him home if you have to, but I don't want him back. It's the laziest fix sometimes. Sometimes it's justified, sometimes it's not. But because they're not on the salary cap, they've never been more vulnerable.
This second-round series between the Rangers and Hurricanes, can't wait for it to get started. How different is this Hurricanes team with a healthy Svechnikov and Jake Guentzel in the mix as well?
Yeah, there's a lot of Carolina, and certainly when you take a look again, the teams that are deep and strong on the blue line, that's where Carolina can kind of match up against anybody. Slavin, of course, is just on the outside of talking about him like you would Norris Trophy candidates like Quinn and Makar and Yossi. The one that defines all logic, guys, for me is Brent Burns. Father Time is not cut up with this guy at all. He's still out there doing amazing things like he did in San Jose all those years. So they're in a pretty good position. Again, if there's one place you wonder about is Frederik Andersen and whether or not he can hold it and play meaningful hockey this time of year. He's always been considered a very good goalie, but just where's the mental strength when you need it the most? But so far, so good. But just to go back to the coaching carousel a little bit, I don't like hearing all this talk about Rod Brind'Amour and where's contracts at. But to me, that's just a distraction. Carolina does not need this time of year. So it'll be interesting if they let it fester or linger or they put it to bed. But I went through this in 94 with Keenan and all the talk about him going to Detroit. And it was a minor miracle that a lot of things didn't blow up in our faces in 1994, and we were able to overcome them. But you don't want that brought in this time of year.
Nick, how concerned should people in Calgary be about an Oilers deep run in the playoffs here?
Very concerned. If you got a power play like that running the show this time of year, it is so dangerous. It could take Edmonton a long, long way. And right now, they're going to sit back. They're going to wait. They're going to watch. They're going to get healthy. But, you know, the power play alone was something to watch in that first round. And L.A. had no answers for it as well. And, you know, we'll see what comes of Nashville and Vancouver moving forward here. But, yeah, they seem like they're mentally, physically, emotionally ready for the next challenge.
I don't know about you, but every time the Oilers' power play gets on the ice, it feels like those 2 minutes take about a year and a half to go by. Just because of the way they can zip it around so fast. Have you noticed the same?
Yeah, just ask Kopitar and his team how long 2 minutes last.
Just whiplash, right?
Listen, it's just, you know, between Connor and Leon and that is opened up shot, you know, 6 feet off the goal line, that is the most accurate thing I've ever seen. In the game of hockey, it does at times feel unstoppable. And then there's always that one element that you need, that if you start it from the top, that Evan Bouchard could blow it right by you. I mean, there's so many things to love about this power play, and it just doesn't begin and end with Connor or Leon, and we'll include Zach Hyman. Yeah. And his net front presence in the net, his ability to get sticks off the post. There's nothing wrong with it at all. You can't find one flaw. It's a flawless power play.
Nick, what was more impressive, their power play or Pierre-Luc Dubois' play for the Kings in that series?
Yeah, that one will be interesting to see how it plays out for the LA Kings, for Rob Blake moving forward, and, you know, where you are in expectations when it comes to the LA Kings. Because when you make a trade like that for a Pierre-Luc Dubois, and it kind of leaves you underwhelmed, you know, there's going to be a lot of people wanting answers. But, you know, I'll go back to what goaltending means this time of year, and, you know, how vulnerable LA left themselves open in net. And, you know, I mean, David Rittich, please, really? You left it up to Dave make a save, Rittich, or is it big save, Rittich? Which one?
Please
was
make
it?
A save, you Dave? Know? Yesterday was please make a save.
Yeah.
Please make a save. I don't understand it for 1 second. That you're a team that wants to push the likes of Vegas, Dallas, Edmonton, and you never addressed your goaltending situation. And that's not taking anything away from Cam Talbot. I think he did everything he could. He's not capable any more than Rittich is. And, you know, you just can't leave yourself exposed like that.
Nick, always terrific stuff. Just comfort our boy Sam McKee, okay? Just make sure, just at least try to comfort him ahead of game six, okay?
Deep breaths. I just encourage deep breaths. Deep.
All right,
thanks,
Nick.
Guys.
Thanks for this. There he is, Nick Kiprios, the host of Real Kipper and Board on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network Stanley Cup champion. Great stuff from Nick. Saying Flames fans, ooh, that power play. Scary
it's
times.
Gross, dude. It's...
Scary times. Yeah, it helps. When you have that guy, that alien, flying around the ice.
Well, he never leaves the ice.
No, he doesn't.
Like, the second unit doesn't get a sniff.
Why would they?
I don't know. That's true.
Why would they? Like, leave him on for the full two. What, Mario and Yager used to play the full 2 minutes, too, when the Penguins were ripping everybody apart on the power play?
I'm not saying that they should. It's more part of the reason that it's like, those two minutes take forever.
Yeah, it's like, hand-wringing.
Every time it feels like they get a major
palms.
Because they're out there the whole time.
Yep. In their zone, because the puck never leaves the opposing zone. Yep.
Well, and if it does, their entries are child's play. Like, they make it look so easy.
Because McDavid just flies it into the zone.
The club in town here made it look like you're trying to build the pyramids trying to get over the blue line.
Yeah. Jacob Pelletier. He's a member of the Calgary Flames and the Calgary Wranglers. He's in the playoffs right now. He's going to join us straight ahead. Talk about his season.
Let's ask him which captain he prefers.
McDavid or Backlund?
Backlund or Sutter.
Okay, I was going to say. I think it's Backlund, and I don't think it's particularly close.
And it's a bit of a trap question.
It is a trap question.
His captains he likes more.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not going to
ask him. All right, you could have. You can ask Michael Backlund that, too. Tomorrow.
Who's favorite?
Who does he like more, Pelletier or Huberto? You can ask him that. Which French Canadian on the team do you like more?
Favorite young prospect do you like?
Who do you like more? We'll talk to Jacob Pelletier next. Our interns are going to have an intern battle previewing the Paris Olympics. And we'll do our lock of the day. It's all straight
ahead. We should get one of those like wrestling bells. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let's do that.
Yeah.
It's not hard to find a bell like that. Jacob Pelletier next. Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. It's a Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. Bottom of the hour, our lock of the day, courtesy of Metal Supermarkets Calgary, and an intern battle to get Matty Rose pumped up for the Paris 2024 Summer Olympics. But joining us on the line right now in the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, Calgary Flames and Calgary Wranglers forward, Jacob Pelletier. Jacob, thanks for this. How are you?
How's it going, guys?
Thanks for jumping on. Jacob, how, again, no problem. You've obviously dealt with some injuries this season, and how is it nice to keep playing hockey right now? Because I'm sure you definitely haven't been on the ice as much as you've wanted this season.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. You know, it's been a long 4.5-5 months for me doing the rehab from October till February, I think, or January. It's great. It's just great to play hockey and to play some real games, you know, some playoff games. So yeah, you know, it's awesome here.
How have you dealt with the frustration of getting re-injured in the middle of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a joke. You know what I mean? I came back. I played 4 or 5 games, and then I got hit and I injured the same shoulder again. So for me, it was kind of scary, but you know, both injuries, they weren't really you know, the same thing. So yeah, I mean, it was tough. I missed another like 2-3 weeks, but again, I think it's part of the game. It's part of the business, and you just gotta learn from it. And for me, you know, I think this whole year has been a good learning experience for what can happen in the future, and just keep playing the type of game that I always play since I'm young, even though I got injured here and there. So yeah.
So you get injured in training camp in an exhibition game, and then that first set of rehab, you go through it, you do a return. But I'm wondering, during the rehab process, who was important to helping you along, and can you tell us a little bit about your relationship with Oliver Shillington and Kevin Rooney from that rehab process?
Yeah, I mean, so when I got injured, I flew to Colorado to get a surgery, and then I got surgery on Monday, and then when I woke up from the surgery, Scott Searles, the trainer with the Flames, told me, well, Kev is coming. I'm like, what do you mean Kev is coming? He's like, yeah, Kev... did the same thing to the same shoulder. He's coming, so you guys are going to be together. So 2 days later, Kev was on the table. And then, you know, it's been like, for me, it's been kind of like a big brother, you know. He helped me a lot. I spent most of my time with him. And then a month and a half after, Shilly came in. And, you know, I think we just kind of made the most of it each day. You know, we were showing up at the rink early. We were, you know, practicing together. We did the workout together each day. So I think for us, you know, we kind of pushed. We kind of pushed each other each day, and I think it kind of made us better players as the time went by here.
Jacob, what was time like after post-surgery with Kevin Rooney? Did you guys like eat cereal and watch cartoons, played video games, oh, binge shows? What did you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, we were pretty much 24/7 together, to be honest. We were at the rink together, then we would hang out. We would, you know, sometimes I would go to his place to watch the Flames. Sometimes he would come to my place to watch the Flames too. So, yeah, I was pretty much 24/7 with him. And, you know, I'm really, as bad as, like, it's got to sound, I was kind of happy that, like, he was there for me doing the rehab, even though I wish he would have been playing. You know, it was good to have him with me for 3.5 months.
What did it mean when you, Kevin, and then Oliver shortly after that all were able to kind of jump back into the NHL lineup at the same time? I know you got injured pretty quickly after that, but just to all return together, that must have been cool for you guys.
Yeah, well, a lot. You know, me and Kevin, I think Shilly came back 2 or 3 weeks before us, so we would have seen him, we would have shoot him a text saying, hey, man, like, especially him, it's been like 2 years that he didn't play in the NHL, so... you know, to see him work hard every day for 2 months and then to come back and to be, like, impactful, not just on the ice, but off the ice as well. And for Kevin, you know, I was so happy for him. And then, you know, to share that with him and to come back in the NHL with him, it's special. And then shortly after, he signed 1 year again for the Flames. So, you know, I'm really proud of Kevin, especially because, you know, it's hard coming back from a surgery and to see him succeed, because I think he was one of the big pieces for the Flames this year, played on the PK, played each game. So, you know, I'm really happy for him.
Jacob, they always say when injured players watch from the press box, they pick up a lot from the NHL game. Did you find the same thing, or maybe that's a lot of nonsense talk sometimes?
No, I think you can see the game because the game is kind of slower from up there, so you can see the game a little better. You can see, you know, what the guys are doing. It's also frustrating because you want to play, you want to jump on the ice, you know what I mean? You want to be there. So yeah, I mean, you can pick up a lot, but at the same time, when you play the game happens so fast that, like, you know, it's a different game from up there than on the ice. I think you can see, you know, what the guys are doing. You know, for me, I was more looking at Manj's game because I think we're kind of similar players. So I think I could, you know, pick up on what he was doing good and what, like, I could do and put in my game. So, yeah.
And then, so you get back from the second injury, you get back in the lineup. There was a little bit of time down in the AHL as well. When did you start to feel comfortable with your body and where you were at and getting back to playing your style of game?
Well, when I came back from my second injury, you know, I could still feel it. It's just like, I think it's time that's going to heal it, to be honest. It took me a while to feel 100% back to my game, to myself. So yeah, I mean, it took me, I don't think, I'm trying my best, to be honest. Like, I'm trying to,
of course,
play my type of game, but you know, I think the summer's kind of gonna reset it, and then when I'm gonna come back next year, I'm gonna be 100% myself. But It's tough, and it was scary because it was the same shoulder as well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's part of the game, so you just gotta play through it. So,
AHL playoffs are here, Jacob. You've already played a couple of games. You guys upset the Tucson Roadrunners. How are things clicking with you? You're on a line with Cole Schwint and Matt Coronato. Like, that is a bunch of heavyweight Flames prospects on one line together. How have you liked being on that in that group and getting past the Roadrunners in the first round?
Yeah, I know, it was great. You know, every time you get a chance to play the playoff, even though it's in the NHL or in the AHL, it's a great experience. You know, we had a good weekend in Tucson, and you know, playing with Maddie and Cole, two great players. So I think for me, you know, it's a good opportunity to kind of, I think it's a second season, so it's kind of a good opportunity to leave the season in the back and to focus on the playoff and make things happen. So, yeah.
When you're playing with Matt Coronato, what stands out to you? Because if I'm not mistaken, you guys haven't had a whole lot of time when you've been playing on the same line together.
No, yeah, we didn't play together all year. So, you know, watching him play, you know, he's got a good release. But he's a good passer and he sees the play well. You know, I know a lot of people think he's just a sniper, but he sees the play well. He's moving fast. He's a strong guy, man. Like he's I think he's gonna be a real good player in the NHL. And for me, you know, to play with him, I'm more a passer. So for me to play with him, it's nice. And then we got Schwinn in the middle too, that can bring. You know, he's good on faceoff. He's good defensively and offensively as well. So yeah, I think we got a good line. But for Matty, I think you can see like. His release is unbelievable, but also like his IQ is really outstanding here.
Is this playoff run about just gaining confidence for you to heading into training camp with the Flames next season? Confidence in your shoulder and your body again, and just your ability to produce offensively?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I think you want to feel good about yourself. But, you know, also it's to play games because I didn't play in so long that... you know, it means something to me to play playoff game in the AHL. You know, you want to go far. We know where we finished seventh in our group, but I think you know we believe in each other here with the Wranglers, and who knows what can happen. We're going against the Firebird this weekend. That they are the one who kicked us out of the playoff. Last year with the A too, so you know I think for us it's to play, you know, to play our style of game, and for me, you know, yeah, it's to feel good, but I also want to win a playoff series coming up. So
Jacob Pelche, Calgary Flames and Calgary Wranglers, for joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sportsbar guest hotline, Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fans. On that theme of confidence, Jacob, how nice is it to see Dustin Wolf in net?
You guys, I'm telling you, he's unbelievable. I was on the bench in Tucson, and I was like, wow, like, this guy is crazy, man. Like, the way he's moving in the net, you're like, wow, like, and then, like, I don't know, you score on him in practice, and everybody's selling because he's so good, so, I don't know, like, he's a good great goalie, and I'm sure he's going to be a great goalie for a long time for the Flames, and it's good that we got him with us, because I wouldn't want to play against him. So.
That first game, I think it was 46 saves for the shutout. Are you aware that it's 46 as the game is going on?
Not really, honestly. I was looking in the middle of second, and the shots were 25-20 for them, and I was like, alright, like, I don't know if they shot that much, but if they did, this guy is unbelievable. And then at the end of the game, I look at the scoreboard. We won 2-0, and I'm like, 46 save, really? Like, this guy just pulled a 46 save shutout. Like, this is unbelievable. So, I mean, he's crazy, man. He's good, and again, like, we're really happy to have him.
I would assume that you and him are pretty close in height, like almost shoulder to shoulder. But what's it like when you're on the line with Adam Klapka?
Yeah, well, I think we're pretty close, probably like an inch or two. But no, he's a big boy. He's a big boy. You know, you can see him on the ice. You know, he's pretty physical, and when he's hitting, you know, you don't want to be on the you don't want to be the guy that he's going through, because every time he's hitting a guy, the guy is going down, and you're like, wow, man, like, poof, poor guy. So, but he's got a good skill set as well. You know, he's a good scorer. He's good in front of the net. So, yeah, no, he's a really good player. And I think it's not a surprise, but, like, I didn't know him until last year. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good find from the Flame Scouts.
Does anybody ever beat him in the battle drills during practice?
Me, often. So,
yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. He's strong. So, but yeah, I don't know if anybody beats him, to be honest.
We have your captain of the NHL club, Michael Backlund, coming into studio tomorrow. Is there anything that we should ask him about from this year that might have happened between you two? Or can you maybe just give us your thoughts on what Michael Backlund was like in his first year as captain of the Calgary Flames?
Oh, he was great. I love Bax. He's a really good human being, a good player. He helped me a lot this year. You know, it's always a pleasure to see him at the rink. You guys just say keep smiling. He's going to be happy because every time I see him, I'm like, hey, Bax keeps smiling, man. You get a great smile. And he's always, like, dying. So, it's great.
My last one, I just wanted to ask you about the team a little bit. I know there's some great nicknames down with the AHL Wranglers, like Mitch McLean is Moose. Do you have a favorite nickname of any of your teammates down with the Wranglers?
Not really. You know, it's pretty much, yeah, Moose is the funny one. I don't know if we got anything.
Matty score sheet
yeah,
for
not
Matt
sure.
Corno?
No, I think he scores sheet, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Man, he scores sheet. Besides that, yeah, we don't have too much.
What about your captain down there, Brett Sutter? What's it like working with him? A guy who's just a pro.
Yeah, he is a pro. You see, like, at his age, to keep grinding. He's went through some injuries, too, this past year. So... to see him, you know, grinding at his age, and he wants more every day. He wants to win a cup again. I think it says a lot about him. And I think every night he kind of drag us into the fight. So, yeah.
Jacob, before I let you go, is Jonathan Huberdeau your second dad? Is that how that works?
He is, man. He's such a good guy. Like, since I came up last year with the Flames, he took care of me on and off the ice. Like I spent pretty much all summer with him. You know, I was practicing with him and everything. So he made me a better player and a better person off the ice and a better pro as well. Because he kind of showed me the way to how to be a pro and how to play in the NHL. So yeah.
Jacob Pelche, Calgary Flames and Calgary Wranglers forward. Jacob, always the best. Great stuff today, and best of luck in the playoffs.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
There he is, Jacob Pelche. Great stuff. You know why his personality is so infectious on the team, right? They love that dude.
You can feel the smile through the radio.
Yep. Yeah. Vocal smile, they call that in the business.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's true.
Yeah, he's great. Every time you hear him.
Again. What a jerk. I'm just kidding. He was totally.
I can't believe he beats Klapka in all those battles.
Yeah,
games.
Like
that's
he does.
Ridiculous.
He just gets under him and just like throws him over his shoulder. He shucks him over his shoulder. That's what he does. Totally does. No, great guy. Wish him the best. And again, hey, it's about confidence. You go out there, light up the American Hockey League playoffs, potentially have a deep run.
Mm-hmm.
That's only going to pay dividends for him for training camp when it rolls along. And especially trusting his body. Through a playoff run, too,
mm-hmm.
with the issues he's had with his shoulder.
Well, the playoffs are a good way to do it.
Yep.
Especially when you're playing on the top line. You're going like 17 minutes a night, both sides of special teams, the whole nine yards. So it's been a lot of fun watching him be on the same line with Coronado and with Schwint. They've been a lot of fun to watch. And then they've got just like good veterans all the way down their lineup. And I know they did release a couple of the Flames prospects, like Yermo and Moran both got released, but they probably weren't going to play anyways. Like they got 35 guys on that roster, essentially, so you got to pick 18 of them to skate.
Sure.
And there's certain prospects that you're going to get in every night. Schwinn's going to be in. Stromgren's going to be in. Plus, obviously, Peltier, Coronado. I'd throw Klapka into that mix. You know, Lucas Siona's kind of knocking on the door, but it's a little harder for him to get in right now. And then on the blue line, you got Soloviev, you've got Poirier. Grushnikov didn't play in the first round because they got some other veterans back. And then obviously Wolf between the pipes. Like there's seven or eight
mm-hmm.
players that are like legitimate, could be NHL guys to watch in this series. And the first two games of the series,
on
Wranglers have a chance to set the tone.
Yep.
At home and on Sportsnet 960.
Yeah, which is a 3 out of 5. So the Wranglers get the first two games at home and then 3 in Coachella Valley. If necessary, after game 4, maybe they win 3 straight here and boot them out of the playoffs.
Like
the way Dustin Wolf's playing, why not?
How great was that answer too? Just like a laugh. Like,
oh yeah, he's like, he's
when
yeah.
he's in the net, it's like a video
we
game.
We sell like crazy in practice when we score on him. Yeah, that's hilarious. The guy, he's great. He's terrific.
Yeah, he's
you will talk to the captain of the Calgary Flames tomorrow, Michael Backlund, in studio tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Set your alarms, tell your friends and your family, even call your enemies, let your pets know.
I always let my pets know.
Michael Backlund, 8 o'clock tomorrow in studio with you and Brent Cron. That's going to be a lot of fun. You know what else is a lot of fun?
What's that?
The Olympic Summer Games coming up in Paris.
Oh, are they? Tell me why.
Which is 85 days away. I'm excited. We talked to Donovan Bailey this week. Olympic champion Donovan Bailey. That was really fun. Mm-hmm. Go back and listen to it if you haven't on the podcast. But we have two interns in this week. Grace, I believe this is your last day with us. Tomorrow's your last day. Okay, tomorrow's her last day. And Gregor's been here all week as well. You guys have been both killing it back there.
Just a Jake Sanderson away.
Just killing it back there. What we're doing is they're both having 30 seconds to get you, Matt Rose, excited for the Paris Olympics.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, Grace went first. So I think we should give Gregor the opportunity to go first today. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. That sounds like a plan.
And I'm going to bestow the honor of picking who wins the gold and the silver to one Patty Dumont today.
There you go.
Sorry.
Okay. Pat loves getting put on the spot.
Yeah, he loves getting put on the spot. Gregor, are you ready to get Matt Rose jacked up for the Paris Olympics?
Of course.
GVP, are you ready with the music? Yeah, he is.
There it is.
Play the music now.
The most exciting and top watch sport in Canada is back at the Olympics. What am I talking about? I'm talking about swimming.
Yeah.
Why is this the highest? Well, I'll tell you the names that we have for our country. Let me list off some names for you.
Okay.
We got Penny Oleksiak.
Yep.
If you remember her winning the gold medal in 2016.
Smile cookies.
Maggie McNeil winning the gold medal last Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And then Summer McIntosh. Mm. Second Olympics already going for gold.
Oh,
30 seconds.
Oh, geez.
But those are three names that I am excited to watch try and hit the podium.
Yeah.
And yes, I do know them too. Yeah. Because McIntosh actually, like, didn't she set a record like a couple months ago?
Summer McIntosh, Katie Ledecky is like the goat of swimming in like the 800 meters.
Sure.
Summer McIntosh, she hasn't lost in like 8 years, I think. Mm. Summer McIntosh beat her. She's 17.
Yeah. That was recently, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Suck
that's
on
what
that, USA.
Yeah. Take that.
Yeah. Okay. So, Gregor.
We're going to give you a second serving at the Olympics.
Yeah. So,
hope you're hungry, bud.
I got to double check that Ledecky stuff.
Ma'am. Whatever it is.
So, Gregor, great job. But again, you got to be wary of the clock.
Yeah, it's tight.
You only have 30 seconds. We determined this. It's like you're doing a nationwide update and you only have 30 seconds exactly.
Like a hard network out.
Because GVP will cut you off. Once the music's done, that's it. You're done. Great job, GVP. Grace, are you ready? Is her mic on or? Okay. Grace?
Yeah.
It's your turn. GVP, play the music now.
This summer, if you're looking to catch some impressive water acrobatics, artistic swimming is the event to watch. This competition consists of numerous synchronous movements that never fail to impress the audience. The preparation for this technical routines are sure to spark interest, with music aiding to this. Also, on an interesting note, this is the first time men athletes will be competing, so be sure to tune in for this aquatic action.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
So that's some time, too.
Oh, okay. So
could have used some of the Gregor time. Could have shared.
Yes.
3.5 left.
Artistic swimming.
Yeah, the men are. I can't wait to watch that.
Maybe a couple social media clips. That's probably what.
Okay. All I know is anything in the pool is one of the most difficult things. I know, Matt, you brought it up. It was kind of off air. It was like, what's the hardest recreational activity on the body? And you were like, oh, like, what was your example you brought up?
When was this?
It was like last week. He was off the air. Either way, swimming, I think, is up there with one of the hardest recreational activities.
Go do Y today.
Yeah.
After, and see after how you feel. Listening. Go do the butterfly.
Yeah, go see how you feel go after 100
meters.
Yeah. After one lap.
Yeah, go do the butterfly. I was right. It was almost 13 years she hasn't lost, and Summer McIntosh beat her in the 800 meter.
I
freestyle.
You know what?
Eat that.
While those were on the go, I'll probably be aquatic myself. Maybe take my lawn chair down to the river.
Oh, that's okay. Nice.
Dangle
down
my
to the river.
Dangle my toes down by the river. A little six pack sitting in the water with me.
There's two things left to do. Who gets the gold and who gets the silver today? God. Grace won the gold yesterday. Gregor won the silver. Who wins it today?
Gregor, you get the gold today. You get the gold today. It's a tie. Can I get both gold?
No.
Nice try.
This isn't participation awards. Well, there has to be a winner and a loser.
I just feel like Canada's got a better chance in the pool with those three than what they have in the artistic.
That's fair.
That is one of the hardest things anybody can do.
Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah.
I just think we got medal threats there with Summer Penny and Maggie.
When Grace's thing, you know, when you watch like synchronized swimming and they're all done up in the makeup and they have the crazy smile while they're like paddling away and doing these incredible movements in the pool. it's so hard to do. Like, it's insane. It's insane. Like,
that's an Olympic sport.
For tomorrow, both of you, be wary of the clock.
And George ain't here.
Yeah, okay, sure, yeah.
Be wary of the clock. We'll do. We have 30 seconds.
Yeah, okay.
Let's get to our lock of the day, brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. Congratulations to Borussia Dortmund yesterday.
It was nice.
Big win over PSG.
Got to do it again in a week.
Going to be tough. I'm going to go... There's some UEFA Champions League action today.
Europa League.
Sorry, Europa League.
And conference.
It's Marseille hosting Atalanta. I think there's going to be goals in this match, Patrick.
Okay.
I'm going to take over 2.5. Lock it in.
Give me the Bruins on the money line.
Whoa! I almost went Leafs money line.
Give me the Bruins on the money line. That's it. Lock it in.
All right.
I'm also going to do some Europa League action. Bayer Leverkusen taking on AS Roma. Leverkusen got to stay unbeaten. I like them to win.
Okay.
Knicks and Sixers, game 6 here. Tyrese Maxey coming off a big game. Jalen Brunson's also been pretty good in this series. I like both of them to be over 2.5 threes.
All right. I like it. Our lock of the day is brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. We didn't do our...
What?
MyFrontPageStory.com stories.
Oh, it's not here.
Didn't write them.
Yeah, that was supposed to happen today.
I watched Fight Club yesterday.
It's a good movie. It's anniversary.
That's the first time you've watched Fight Club?
25th really? Anniversary this year of Fight
is it
Club.
Really?
That was one of my shameful things that
oh,
I...
Oh, no. Why did
you
think
know
of it?
The first rule about Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah.
How'd you like it?
How weird did that...
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the end of the movie's really dark.
Yeah,
it's dark.
He really, and really got, doubled down. Hey?
You got Jared Leto in it. You got Meatloaf's in it.
Yeah. Does Leto have a single line?
He's blonde, the blonde guy.
Yeah, but I don't think he speaks.
Oh, he talks.
Like, barely.
He doesn't say a lot,
he's got like six lines.
Leto. Is it Leto or Leto?
I think it's
Leto.
What do you got coming up?
I saw him on the screen. I was like, oh, there he is. Look how blonde he is. Yeah,
Meatloaf gets his head blown off.
Too blonde!
Oh, that's Meatloaf?
That's Meatloaf. Big guy? I forget his name in the movie.
Bob.
Bob, that's it.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
What do you got coming up?
Robert Paulson.
Yeah, his name was Robert Paulson. His name was... we just got a...
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
We're going to talk some hockey. Just Bruins, Leafs, talk about some...
Woe Canada?
No Woe Canada. There's no teams left. Oh,
sorry,
well, three left.
Bad, but... Okay. You and GVP are going to do that?
Yeah, we're just going to chat.
Good name, all right, so don't forget, Michael Backlund on the program tomorrow.
Jason Bukla, just after 7 o'clock. He is home from Finland, but he is still watching the U18s. Apparently, the Flames had a big contingent at the U18s this year.
Watching a Tej?
Watching players for 25 and 26
would
also be the thing that
I
would wonder about.
Oh, okay. That's exciting.
So we'll get into that. And then Frank.
Yeah, Frank.
And then Crowner.
Sour
Frank. Michael Backlund.
And we get a Patty Dumont morning report.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
With not a lot happening tonight.
yeah, good luck with that.
That's
one.
Good. That's
big
fine.
Weekend.
That's like focusing on these one games.
Yeah, you can. Jamming in. And Siwoo Kim at the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson.
Let's go.
Damn right. Felix Auger-Aliassime in Madrid.
Maybe get into a final.
Maybe you can talk about Europa League semifinal action.
Walk over to it at the final, too.
Yeah. All right.
Let's hope.
Apple, Google, Spotify.
Free walkovers.
Amazon, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Rate, review, subscribe, and stuff. That'll be cool. Big thanks to everyone involved in today's show.
Pelts, Flames.
Thanks, Pelts, the Flames, for setting that up for us. Big thanks to Nick Kiprios and Kevin Barker. Kevin Barker gave us a treasure trove of drops.
I can't wait to uncork some of those. Those.
Yeah. And I'm going to donkey thing, punch that thing to left center and break some concrete.
Yeah, see? What an incredible clip that is.
We were dying.
It was awesome. And I accidentally said the clip when I wasn't on air, like, it was so good. I don't even care that I did that. It was awesome. It was awesome.
All right. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Me neither, Kevin.
You can listen to that all day. All right. See I'm out of here tomorrow. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday. Bye.
Bye.
Sit, Ubu. Sit. Good dog.